The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Recently, I was privileged to accompany Bishop Joe to assist him in celebrating Mass at the ICE facility in Taylor. Now, I'm not going to be political because, frankly, I didn't see any of the stuff, good or bad, that you've heard about on the news. All we saw was the perimeter fence and the administrative buildings, 12-foot-tall chain-link fences with razor wire and tilt-wall concrete construction with no windows. Not a cheerful place. The facility is what a friend of mine who's a police officer calls an OTM, an other than Mexican facility. That's the sort of offhand bureaucratic way of referring to a facility that has 500 Salvadorans, Guatemalans, Hondurans, Colombians, Bolivians, Indians, Vietnamese, West Africans, Ukrainians, and people from the Middle East, women and children living in it. The amazing thing is approximately half of those women and came to celebrate Mass with us. We were in the gymnasium, big concrete space. And they came and they were so happy to see the bishop, and they crowded around him and they shook hands with him, and they were touching his vestments if they couldn't get around to shake hands, and they were laughing and he was talking with them and they were sharing their family stories. And we celebrated Mass and they sang enthusiastically, and they came to communion, many of them weeping as they came. And after Mass, probably 24 of them came and knelt down on the hard concrete floor in front of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they began to pray their hearts out. Dios te salve Maria, llena eres de gracia. Bowing down to the floor, weeping and wailing and asking for our Blessed Mother's assistance. It's the image of those women in front of that image that I want you to hold in your mind as we go through this parable and a little bit of examination of conscience. You see, the first layer of this parable of the Pharisee and the publican is easy, because Jesus had just come off castigating the Pharisees for their hypocrisy of tithing everything in sight and doing everything perfectly correctly, but not following through with justice and mercy. So it's real easy for us to say, oh, we're the Christians, we're the good guys, thank God we're not. Oh, wait a minute. We have to examine ourselves. How are we prideful? How are we smug? How are we self-satisfied? How do we give in and cultivate that false self that makes us out to be more holy than we really are? That's something that's easy to see in other people, but it's not always easy to see in ourselves. And there's the dark side of that temptation, the one where we think we see where we have failed, we're prideful, and we want to repent. And so we begin to beat ourselves. We give in to our perfectionism. It's a way of justifying yourselves, because you see, that is the regret that is remorse, but not repentance. There's this temptation to repent because we have failed ourselves. We aren't as good as we wanted to be. We're upset not that we've failed God, but that we're not perfect. It's a subtle form of pride. And that's why we have to look at the tax collector, who kneels in the back pew and beats his breast and says, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." It's that abject emptiness that we have to enter into with repentance. We have to abandon our own efforts, our own expectations of ourselves, our own plans for holiness, and instead abandon ourselves to God, to His grace, so that He can take it out of our hands, away from our plans and our resources. Because you see, if we're left to our resources, we realize we're going to die. There's an end to our resources, and we cannot carry through everything we plan because we're going to die. This abject emptiness in the face of God's grace, this willingness to receive His grace, is what leaves us free to do His will with His resources. And it's out of this self-emptiness that compassion is born. To see and respond to the brokenness of those around us, to our family members and our neighbors, to that crazy person in the car in front of us on the freeway that can't quite figure out where he's going and is driving 30 miles below the speed limit and you want to kill him. To the person weeping next to you in the pew, and to the 500 women and children in that facility in Taylor. Compassion, compassio, it means to suffer with, regardless of how this person came to be in that situation. The psalm tells us today, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. That's God's promise. He is close to the broken and the suffering. But it's also a warning and a challenge. See, it's a warning because if God is close to the brokenhearted and you're not close to the brokenhearted, then you might just not be close to God. And it's also a challenge. God comes close to the brokenhearted through the ministry we perform when we come close to the brokenhearted. Brothers and sisters, let us be poor and broken like the publican, so that we ourselves can hear the cry of the poor. Praise be Jesus Christ.